I'd like to introduce our text today with a question. What would it mean for our own Christian faith and for Christianity in general if Christ, Son of God, our Lord and Savior, was not actually risen from the grave? We hear a lengthy answer from the inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, reading verses 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It's quite a negative list of things turning out very badly. We'll focus on just a few today, starting with verse 14. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. In other words, the Bible-based Christian religion that you have learned in confirmation class, Christian day school, here at this school, the gospel of salvation in Christ that we have come to treasure and to trust is worthless. Likewise, what we do here in chapel or in a religion class or in Sunday worship would also be worthless, a waste of time, if Christ is not risen. If that's actually true, Jesus still dead, as some people want to say, then we might as well turn off the microphone, shut off the camera, leave the hymnals on the bleachers, head out the door, go join the rat race, where we try to get as full of a life as we can in the earthly sense until death comes. But wait, there's another problem. Death would not be the worst part. Not according to verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Can you unpack that for yourself? You'll have to connect a few dots. The Bible in both testaments teaches quite emphatically that Jesus came, as promised, to be our sacrifice, to go to the cross, to pay for the sins of all people of all time, us included. But if he's dead in the grave still, what would that say about the sacrifice? What would that mean about the payment? It would mean, in brief terms, that it didn't work. It wasn't enough. Well, on that basis, your sins are still stuck to you, along with the debt you owe to God. So when death comes around, the next thing is judgment, condemnation, the suffering of hell, for you, me, and every believer who has already died. Paul brings that up in verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If Christ is not risen. Thankfully, Paul, in verse 20, removes the troublesome if when he writes, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To understand that verse, you need to track how the resurrection of Jesus is going to be different from all those people who were raised in Bible times, such as the son of the widow of Zarephath, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus in Bethany. How is Jesus different? It's based on the word first fruits. He gets to be first fruits, which means that he's the first one to rise from the dead and stay alive forever after that. All the others, like Lazarus, must have died at some point, and their body is in a grave someplace awaiting the resurrection on the last day. That's not true about Jesus. He'll come to bring about the resurrection on the last day. The fact that he lives forever, the fact of his permanent resurrection, has changed everything across the board. So instead of wondering if Christ is not, we get to say with confidence, because Christ is. Because Christ is risen from the dead, our use of the gospel and its preaching is not empty, but fully loaded with life-saving truth, which gives our faith something solid to cling to at all times. You can think of the resurrection of Christ as part of that heavenly power of the Spirit that causes the faith of every believer to come alive, like a spiritual resurrection, and stay alive. Because Christ is risen from the dead, your sins do not stick to you. They're stuck to Jesus, who carried all of them to the cross, where he covered them with his blood so that they are gone from God's sight. Make no mistake, the resurrection of Jesus has guaranteed your forgiveness from God. It empowers your faith in God, and it firmly establishes your future with God. Let's take a quick glimpse into that future, that new and vastly improved version of you and me, all tied to the fact that Jesus lives. What happened to him 2,000 years ago is a preview of what will happen to us and all believers. Even as he rose from the dead, never to die again, so will we. Even as he has a glorified body, that which is incorrupt, so will we. Think of it. Immortality. Incorruption. That's your future plateau. Your gospel-based destiny. It's not a matter of if. More like a matter of when. And also, because Christ is risen from the dead, he's risen indeed. Amen. Let us close our worship today singing hymn 207, two stanzas. Stanza 2 and 4, hymn 207.